Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J. King Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is J. King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-host, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
What's up? Guess what day it is? It's Wednesday, hump day. Happy New Year.
Robert Redwine.
You got me humping. Oh, good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Oh, yeah, babe.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon.
Oh, yeah.
A legend.
The man that never says, let go of my ego.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. Doom, 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 doom.
Let go of my ego.
He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his dinero.
What do you guys don't hump on the weekend?
He's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
Mr. Mackety Mac to you guys. Mr. Mackety Mac.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Hey, you know that guy that had those women captive, he committed suicide.
Our program director.
I know, Jay, you're going to touch up on that story because you're the news guy.
Our chief of mail.
Sitting in for NBC News correspondent Dave Fisher, it's Jay King.
Our head honcho.
Yeah, everybody say yeah.
Our Big Willie.
You so silly.
Our Sambo.
Hey, do I remind you of Fred Sanford when I say, you so silly, like you big dummy?
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our, hey, do I remind you of Fred Sanford when I said, you so silly, you know, like you big dummy? Sample, Mr. Lynn Tolliver Jr.
All aboard, Stephanie Beard.
Now, so Lynn, Jason, if you think that Ariel Castro killed himself,
I didn't say that.
Come on, man.
I don't think
come
so.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You believe that?
Nope.
Look, they have cameras, you know, on those cells that with somebody monitoring them.
Yeah.
You know, a police officer monitoring those cameras. You got people walking through every 30 minutes, and you tell me that this guy has enough time to tie some sheets together. Throw it, you know, there's just not a lot of things that you can throw them over, you know, in that cell, unless they have bunk beds and he tied it to the top of the bunk. I don't know, you know, maybe to the door or something, and then he's got to systematically hold his feet up. He's got to hold his feet, you know, where they don't touch the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, this is what I think. You know, and I've only been to jail. Hey, I'm an ex-con. I've only been to jail twice, and they were for traffic. You know, I didn't like. One was accidental, and thing arrest, and the other one's accidental. So the only thing that I could tell you about prison is what I've seen from the reports, and you know, like what is that one with that thin black guy that was in zero or whatever the thing is, and they said that prison life is, like, really, really terrible. But there's a lot of things that go on that the guards turn their eyes to. They turn their head to, whatever, you know. And, you know, these guys are in there. A lot of them are killers anyway, and they've got life sentences. What the hell do they care? You know, and if a person says, hey, man, we need you to rub out Ariel Castro, you know, you'll get like 50 cartons extra of cigarettes.
You already ain't getting out, dude, so it ain't like we taking nothing away from you, but I am giving you these 50 cartons of cigarettes, doggy. Now, you know what you can do with those 50 cartons of cigarettes. You know, red wine will be coming through here in a minute, you know, and you know he wears panties and a T-shirt wherever he goes.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Especially in prison.
Robert, I give you a box of these cigarettes if you let me travel the old dirt world. Oh, yeah, babe.
Hello, Central Mail here.
Speaking of murder.
Jay King's News Reel.
Serial killer claims he murdered Nicole Brown Simpson. A convicted serial killer currently on death row killed O.J. Simpson's ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman. That's what a new documentary is claiming. My brother, the serial killer, claims Glenn Rogers was behind the 1994 murders that made nationwide headlines. The documentary, which airs November 21st on Investigation Discovery, includes a candid interview with Rogers' brother, Clay. I'm absolutely certain that my brother killed Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman, Clay Rogers told the filmmakers. Glenn Rogers was arrested 6 weeks after Simpson, the famous football player, and Brown's ex-husband was acquitted of the murders. Police claim Rogers went on a nationwide killing spree, allegedly murdering more than 70 people. Receipts show that Rogers was working as a house painter in Los Angeles at the time of the murders. According to the documentary, in the weeks before Brown and Goldman were killed, Rogers told his brother and sister he was hanging around with Brown and said she was rich and he was going to take her down. According to the documentary, Rogers later told a criminal profiler that Simpson had hired him to steal back a pair of expensive earrings from Brown. Simpson allegedly told Rogers that you have to kill the bitch. Rogers also provided a detailed account of the murder to criminal profiler Anthony Mioli. According to the documentary, Rogers drew a picture of the knife he claims to have used, which matches the forensic description of the blade. I'm going to read some more, you guys, but let me say this in the middle of this thing. First of all, this don't make no sense, because he said that he was hanging out with Brown and Goldman weeks before they were killed, right?
Yeah.
So if he's hanging out with them, then he says O.J. Simpson hired him to steal back some expensive earrings. So if O.J. Simpson hired, if he's hanging out with Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman, how's he hanging out with O.J. Simpson too, unless he knows them all, but he's there painting? See, that don't make no sense. When y'all make these stories up, y'all got to make up good stories.
TJ, you sure you're not making it up like Anderson Cooper?
No, this is, who, me? This is what I'm reading. Do you hear me reading, Robert?
Oh, yeah, babe.
Hey, whatever the Goldman's kid's name was and Nicole Brown, were they hanging out all the time?
No, I don't know. You know, this is what I'm saying. That because they said that, you know, that they weren't hanging out, that she, who knows? The one thing we do know is this. Nicole was throwing that vagina around. She had it in the face of Marcus Allen, who was O.J.'s good friend. And she was letting people dig. She was a Diggy Lou. She was a Diggy Lou production. There has been no investigation of Glenn Rogers. The fact that he is confessing now surely means that the authorities should open the book on it, said filmmaker David Monaghan. Goldman's father, Fred, does not believe the documentary. The fact of the acquittal at the hands of the jury will never wash away this murder from the hands of O.J. Simpson, no matter how many Glenn Rogers pop up on the media radar screen, Goldman told TMZ. While the new documentary is bound to generate attention on a case that gripped the nation, experts say it will unlikely change minds about who did it. Well, let me say this, you guys. Even if he did it, O.J. Simpson still told him to do it. So don't change nothing. O.J. Simpson said, "Kill a bitch. Get my earrings back. I just paid X amount of dollars for these earrings. The hoe is giving the pussy up to everybody else. Get my earrings back."
Student body pie on two.
Why would he want earrings back?
That don't make no sense. The filmmaker has created a compelling case here. The problem is, it doesn't deal with the enormous amount of evidence pointing at O.J. Simpson, said ABC News analyst Dan Abrams. Simpson is currently serving up to 33 years in a Nevada state prison after a group of men say the former football player robbed them of sports memorabilia at a hotel in 2007. Rogers was captured in 1995, and his family tipped off police about his location. He received death sentences in California and Florida and is currently awaiting execution on Florida's death row. You know why the family turned him in, don't you?
For the money.
No, he said, I'm gonna kill one of y'all's asses when I get back that way.
Kill a bitch.
And they didn't know which one it was. They're like, he really will kill somebody. He really will. So, you know, I don't know. It just don't make no sense to me. And now, maybe I didn't go to college, Lynn. I don't have a college degree, okay? I don't have an online degree like Dr. Princess Odelia.
DPO.
I'm just a regular Negro with a high school diploma.
Whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
But I'm not a low-falooter like that. Every now and then I can low-falute. But I try not to falute low. I try to falute on a high level. I'm a reader. I'm a thinker. I want you guys to just listen to what was said here. Receipts show that Rogers was working as a house painter in Los Angeles at the time of the murders. According to the documentary, in the weeks before the Brown and Goldman were killed, that's what they wrote. Even ABC News has some horrible writers here. In the weeks before Brown and Goldman were killed, Rogers told his brother and sister he was hanging around with Brown and said she was rich and he was going to take her down.
Down.
Yeah.
So now he says, hey, guy, I'm over here hanging out with... You know that Negro, O.J. Simpson. Yeah, well, his wife. You know, she's white, man. And I'm going to take her down because she's rich, man. She's
down,
going
down,
down,
down, down.
But then, according to the documentary, Rogers later told a criminal profiler that Simpson, O.J. Simpson, had hired him to steal back a pair of expensive earrings from Brown.
Hmm.
And then Simpson allegedly told Rogers, "You have to kill a bitch."
The juice.
But he was with Paula Barbieri. Why would he care?
But just think if he was in a movie with a cat. They could call that movie Puss and Juice.
Man, there's always that pie that can put something on your mind.
Oh, my God. So, I don't believe the story. And you guys know, I thought O.J. Simpson didn't do it. And, you know, in the beginning, I was so happy. I was one of them people clapping outside the courtroom. But I wanted O.J. Simpson to prove me right. I wanted him to say, okay, thank you guys, but we have a murderer out here. I have this little girl, because something happened to my daughter's mother, and my little girl, I know how traumatized she's going to be because of how her mother is in her life. The first thing I want to do, Robert, is make sure that justice is done for my daughter, because I don't want her walking around afraid that somebody might kill her. I don't want her walking around thinking that her mother's death wasn't avenged. As her father, it's my duty to make my daughter's life fearless.
That's right.
And that she can walk around in comfort. And I felt like that's when our new O.J. Simpson's nasty ass killed his wife, little SOB, when he didn't do that. And, you know, and whatever he got coming to, whatever he got happening, he got it coming to him. And I won't be surprised if one day, you know, after all this is done, we won't find out that O.J. Simpson then turned into one of them boys.
J. King's News Reel.
Charlotte pastor says only white people can greet people at the front door of the church.
What?
Controversy has sparked a North Charlotte church after a pastor sent an email asking that only white people stand at the front to greet the congregation. A viewer contacted WBTV after getting an email from Pastor Makita Pennycook, an African-American woman at Freedom House Church along Salome Church Road. The email was sent to a group of church volunteers who act as greeters for the church's 9 a.m. service. Carmen Thomas, who has attended and served at the church for the past 2 years, sent us the email. She was appalled. I was floored, she recalled. It was like a jaw dropper. You can put a white face all over the front door, but when you come through those doors, you're going to see African Americans. You're going to see Asians. You're going to see people of colors. In the email, Pastor Pennycook, and I'm going to tell you, her name should be what do they call them girls when they have her name should be Pastor Pickaninny, the way this damn hairstyle is. Pastor Pennycook reminds volunteers that fall is one of the busiest times of the year for the church. We anticipate having an increase in the number of people visiting and attending Freedom House over the next few weeks, Pastor Pennycook says in the email. She then says, the first impression matters. And she says the church wants the best of the best on the front doors. We are continuing to work to bring our racial demographic pendulum back to the midline, she continued in the email. So we would like to ask that only white people be on the front doors. Thomas told WBTV she knew exactly what Pastor Pennycook meant by that statement. Too black, she said. It wasn't a conclusion I drew. It was something I read. Pennycook then acknowledged the request is a sensitive situation and said quality trumps quantity. We would rather have less greeters on the front door if it means that the few that we have all represent us the best, Pastor Pennycook wrote. What did I call her? Pastor who, Robert?
Pickaninny.
Pastor Pickaninny. Her ass. If she shouldn't have her ass at the front door with that damn Pickaninny hairstyle. Thomas also told us that she's been an active and an engaged member of the church for more than 2 years. She feels race isn't the only issue, but also the church's bottom line. Perhaps you believe that with a certain congregation that eventually your finances are going to run out because maybe we aren't the money makers, she said. WBTV contacted the Freedom House Church about the email, and a spokeswoman for the church confirms the email was sent out by Pastor Pickaninny. The email was sent by one of our longtime. We got to find the phone number to this. We got to find her phone number. With somebody in the chat room, this is in Charlotte, Charlotte, North Carolina. Please, somebody find this church. We're going to call this church. We're going to call Pastor Pickaminny today. Charlotte, North Carolina, the church is called the Freedom House Church on Salom Church Road, and that's S-A-L-O-M-E. Salom Church Road, Freedom House Church. We got to find, somebody got to give me that number so we can call him, and I'm going to be white when I call.
Ignorant black Southern Negroes.
The email was sent out by one of our longtime pastors in an attempt to emphasize that our greeting team reflect the racially diversity of our entire congregation, the statement sent to WBTV read. However, she admitted it was a mistake to overemphasize any specific group and sent an apology email within 24 hours of the original email going out. The viewer told WBTV a letter of apology was issued to some people from Pastor Pickaninny and Senior Pastor Troy and Penny Maxwell. The pastors have been meeting with staff and church members to confirm their commitment to diversity and to ensure nothing like this happens again. Freedom House believes in a diverse relationship within its membership, reflecting the larger community in which the church resides. Doing life together as a church representative of everyone, culturally, ethnically, economically, and generationally. So, that's all I got to say. What? Okay, nothing? I get nothing from y'all?
Wow. I don't know,
man, them Southern blacks, man, they bow down, man.
What do you mean? This is a black woman that did it.
Southern black folks,
though. Well, hold on. I got the phone number. Thank you, Val. I got the phone number. Boy, the chat room is really important to this program. I don't think anybody uses the chat room like I do. I use the chat room.
No. Val is important.
Yes,
yeah.
She is.
Oh, yeah, babe. But you know what I'm saying, King?
Well,
a lot of them Southern blacks, man.
What'd you say, Robert?
Thank you.
A lot of them Southern blacks are afraid of white folks.
This ain't got, first of all, this ain't no, this, what does that have to do with what we're talking about, Robert? This is a Negro. This is a porch monkey that's doing this. This ain't got nothing to do with no crackers, this pasty substance. This is a Negro on Negro.
But what I'm saying is that they feel that white folks are superior to them. Them Southern blacks, they still got slavery mentality, man.
That's, you know what that's called?
What's that called, Ly?
It's called Yazzaism.
Yazza.
And you know what they call a woman that talk a lot?
What's that?
Baby got yak.
we should send Uncle
Thank
Rina
you for calling Freedom House Church. If this is a pastoral care emergency, please press 5. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it now. To dial by name, press #1. For a staff directory, press #2. For the receptionist, please press 0. Thank you. Dialing. The person you are calling is unavailable. Please leave a message after the tone.
Yes, my name is Jack McGinsky. I'm calling about your church services. I'd like to know what time the services start. I just read an article where you have white greeters, and it really piqued my interest. It makes me want to attend the church and see exactly what's going on here. Jesus. Lynn, could you give the number where I could be reached?
213-403-1668. The number again, 213-403-1668.
Again, my name is Jack McGinsky. I'm Caucasian, and Lynn is black. He won't be attending the church. I just don't think it's a good idea. I think you have far too many in the church already. Thank you so much. Hey. I need the number
to Dunkin' Donuts corporate office. I'm going to read a story to you guys. Val, could you get me the phone number to Dunkin' Donuts corporate office, please? Thank you. Val is like my secretary.
Jay King's News Reel.
Dunkin' Donuts apologizes for racist blackface ad. Popular donut chain Dunkin' Donuts recently came under fire for an advertisement that was released in Thailand featuring a woman in blackface makeup, sporting bright pink lips, a beehive hairdo, and holding a half-eaten chocolate donut. Dunkin' Donuts, which touted its latest charcoal donut line, was harshly criticized for its bizarre and racist campaign by the Human Rights Watch Group, one of the world's leading independent organizations dedicated to defending and protecting human rights. Now, due to pressure from the HRW and thousands of consumers, the donut makers have issued an apology for their lack of sensitivity, according to the New York Daily News. When Dunkin' Donuts Charcoals ad premiered in mid-August, it created a whirlwind of controversy because it was so reminiscent of America's stereotypical and controversial blackface minstrel caricatures. The HRW group, which is based in New York, were reportedly appalled by the company's lack of sensitivity. According to the group's deputy Asia director, Phil Robertson, who spoke to the Associated Press, it's both bizarre and racist that Dunkin' Donuts thinks that it must color a woman's skin black and accentuate her lips with bright pink lipstick to sell a chocolate donut. Robertson and his group took Dunkin' Donuts to task and demanded not only an apology be issued, but that they pull the plug on the campaign to boot. Karen Raskoff, the chief communications officer for Dunkin' Brands, told the New York Daily News, "The campaign for the dark chocolate donuts was indeed insensitive. On behalf of our Thailand franchise and our company, we apologize for any offense it caused. We're working within our franchises to immediately pull the television spot and to change the campaign." Apparently not everyone within the Dunkin' Donuts organization sees eye to eye with the company's decision to pull the plug. Nadeem Sahani, Dunkin' Donuts Thailand CEO, told the Bangkok Post, "It's absolutely ridiculous. We're not allowed to use black to promote our donuts? I don't get it. What's the big fuss? What if the product was white and I painted someone white? Would that be racist too?" Thus far, the advertisement has been a success, and donut sales have increased about 50%. Now, let me tell you guys something. I'm looking at this ad, right? No, listen, I'm looking at it, and I don't see anything wrong with it, okay? I don't see anything wrong with this ad. As a matter of fact, I think it's kind of fly.
Oh, yeah.
And what they have, Lynn, is a woman whose face is painted black. Everything is black.
She has big lips?
The background?
She has big lips.
No. Oh, she got little lips. She got a nose. You know, but she's holding a charcoal donut, and the only thing that's not black is her pink lips, and then charcoal donut, and then Dunkin' Donut is in their orange and pink. You know, their logo's there. Enjoy your moment, right?
Right.
Okay, you niggas ain't got any nigga that said this is y'all niggas are going too far. Cut it out. Stop. Stop with it. Cut the cake. Okay? It's too much. So, okay, here's 859-5339. We're going to call Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm going to tell them that I think they shouldn't. I like the ad. The ad is actually kind of fly. And it makes me want to sing my favorite Negro spiritual. Niggas and fly. Niggas and flies. The more I see niggas, I appreciate flies. Niggas and flies. Niggas and flies. The more I see niggas, I appreciate flies.
Thank you for calling Dunkin' Brands Inc. Customer Relations, serving customers of Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins. Please note, your call may be monitored or recorded. For store locations, please press 1. All others, please stay on the line for assistance.
I want to order me a sweet sundae.
That's why you're wearing them tight sailor pants now.
Good morning. This is Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, my name is Jay King. I'm from a show called Kings in the Morning. And we just seen your ad, the blackface ad, the Dunkin' Donuts. And we like this ad. And I happen to be black. So, and I like the ad. And I want to know why would you – I don't think Dunkin' Donuts should apologize for the ad, number one. And I don't think that they should stop the ad. I think it's a great ad. It's a beautiful ad. Where's the pressure coming from? Or can you – do I need to talk to somebody else?
Yeah. Oh, okay, one moment, please. I'm just going to place you on a brief hold.
Thank you. You see that, Robert? I just get right to it from the bottom up, from the rooter to the tutor.
You're quick, King J, off the top.
Because I want them to know. This is ridiculous. I mean, you know what, Lynn? Politically correct has gotten incorrect now. We're so politically correct that now people like, you know, people jump on the bandwagon because somebody say, you know what, that's a bad ad. And people say, well, I don't know, I like it. No, they got the blackface. First of all, this don't look nothing like what they did back in the minstrel days. And, you know, and let me tell you something. Back then, that was a way of life in America, whether we like it. And black folks shouldn't be complaining because y'all don't even want to talk about it. Y'all act like it didn't exist. Y'all don't want to talk about slavery, so don't get mad. But this ad, and I wish, if you guys can, anybody who's listening, you know, go and say, you know, go to Google and put in Dunkin' Donuts blackface ad, and you know, for the image, and look at it, and tell me if I'm, you know, I don't think it's done distastefully at all, Lynn. As a matter of fact, I think it's done beautifully. It's a great ad. It's a catchy ad. And you know, and so I get tired of every time we make everything racial. Everything got to, you know, it's gray. It's gray? It's, what do you mean it's gray? Oh, they're calling, uh-oh, they're saying gray girl. He's dating a gray girl.
What is the problem with using the blackface in an ad? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's a great ad. It's a catchy ad, you know. And I mean, people making a big stink about it because that's how the people that are making a big stink about it, they get paid
Hi,
for stink.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm in the middle
so
of the show. Okay. So is there anybody I can talk to so I can tell you? I don't understand. I would not trade. I think this is a great ad. I think it's a great ad. And I think go ahead. I'm sorry, baby.
No, it's okay. What I can do for you here is pass along your feedback.
Okay. Well, pass it along. Tell them Kings in the Morning love the ad. We think it's great. And I just want you guys to know the Human Rights Watch, their job is to find stuff like this so they can make money. They're not so concerned about this ad. They're concerned about making money, and this is a money maker for them. And if I was Dunkin' Donuts, I would stand by this ad and say, you know what? That ain't what this ad is about. If you can't get with it, tit to tit, which means get to getting. Okay? Thank you, Stephanie. All right, you guys. So we got that out the way. I'm just on a little rampage this morning, Lynn.
I bet you she freaked when you said tit, tit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She hung the phone up when I said tit, tit, tit. She thought I was talking. You know what she thought I was talking about?
Yeah, breast.
She probably talking about something about a titty.
Oh, yeah.
So she didn't know that tit, tit, you know, and I got to remember to tell people the story of Jordan, you know, when she was a little girl telling me to get out of room because I could tell her to get out of my room. So I told her to get to getting. And she told me one day I went in her room, she told me to tit to tit. I'm not understanding what she's saying. She said, nigga, get to getting. You don't want me in yours, I don't want you in mine. You don't want me in yours, I don't want you in mine. Tit to tit. No
problem. Jay King's News Reel.
Infant dies after being raped.
mother encouraged the attack and watched. A mother is under arrest after allegedly allowing her boyfriend to rape her infant child, causing the child to die.
Oh,
Jessica
no.
Lynn Howell of St. Charles County, Missouri. You know that's pasty stuff. You know that's pasty substance. You know how you know it's pasty substance, Lynn?
Tell me.
Jessica Lynn Howell. What that's saying to you is very pasty substance. And then what the nail in the coffin is this. St. Charles County, Missouri. You don't have no soul fingers. There ain't no soul finger in St. Charles County.
No way.
Missouri.
Of the Southern Belle variety.
Jessica was arrested in connection with the death of her four-month-old daughter, Ashlyn Lilith Peters. Ashlyn died December 3rd, 2012. Originally, Howell was not charged as she claimed innocence in the attack. But prosecutors say text messages between Howell and her boyfriend, Jordan Lafayette Prince, are conclusive and damning. Prince has been in custody awaiting trial for the murder of Ashlyn Lilith Peters for several months and has a past history of sexual abuse, which Howell admits to knowing. In an apparent attempt to spice up their relationship, Howell offered to allow Prince the opportunity to sexually molest her daughter. According to the local reporting of Fox2Now.com, St. Charles prosecuting attorney Tim Lomar said, in those text messages, she suggested and encouraged some unspeakable things. It is very, very disturbing. While the text messages between the two suspects have not been released, the official police report tells a gruesome story about the condition little Ashlyn was found. Ashlyn was sexually assaulted, causing multiple tears to her anus.
Oh, no.
Massive laceration to her rectum. Massive hematoma to her area of pelvis.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy.
The injuries to the anus and rectum of Ashlyn were sufficient to eventually cause her death, even without strangulation. Beyond the rape that caused Ashlyn to stop breathing, she was also beaten. Ashlyn was also the victim of blunt force trauma to the left side of her head, causing a laceration to her ear and hemorrhaging near her skull. Jessica Lynn Howell and Jordan Lafayette Prince are both currently in custody awaiting trial.
Good for them.
Wow.
That's despicable. That's sick. That's retarded.
It really is. And now, Lynn, you know what's a trip? If I continued down this road, right?
Yeah.
Here are some of the stories that I have to go with. 9-month-old baby killed after babysitter injects him with cocaine and heroin.
Oh.
Insane Christian woman suffocates her 6-week-old baby with pages from the Bible.
And what's wrong with these people, King J?
Ohio man murders 5-year-old son, kills himself.
Even the headlines are atrocious.
Yeah.
Teen mom leaves baby alone in motel room for hours with small dog and weed stash.
Leave the babies alone, retards.
That's enough, Jay. Ooh.
Yeah, I can't take it.
Isn't that horrible?
That's horrible.
Ooh.
That's where we live. That's where we live. Thank God. I mean, and when I say, I'm talking about the world. That's where we live in the world. That's not, That's not where I dwell. I don't even get into that thing. It's too much.
Jay King's News Reel.
Asian seafood raised on pig feces approved for U.S. consumers. At Ngoxin Foods, trading and processing export enterprise, a seafood exporter on Vietnam's northern coast, workers stand on a dirty floor sorting shrimp one hot September day. there's trash on the floor. And flies crawl all over the baskets of processed shrimp stacked in an unchilled room in Camu. Elsewhere in Camu, Gwen Von Hong packed shrimp headed for the U.S. in dirty plastic tubes. He covers them in ice made with tap water that the Vietnamese health ministry says should be boiled before drinking because of the risk of contamination with bacteria. Vietnam ships 100 million pounds of shrimp a year to the U.S. That's almost 8% of the shrimp Americans eat. Using ice made from tap water in Vietnam is dangerous because it can spread bacteria to the shrimp. Microbiologist Mansoor Samadpour says Bloomberg Market magazine reports in its November issue millions of Americans got sick from eating food that inspectors say is safe. A special report in the November 2012 issue of Bloomberg Markets explores the dangers. The danger on your dinner plate. Your food shouldn't hospitalize you. The policeman's son. The kiss that killed. A celebration denied. Those conditions, ice made from dirty water, animals near the pig farm, near the farms, pigs are unacceptable, says Samadpour, whose company IEH Laboratories and Consulting Group specializes in testing water for shellfish farming. Ngoc Sinh has been certified as safe by Geneva-based food auditor SGSSA. Says Nguyen Truong Thanh, the company's general director. We're trying to meet international standards, says Thanh. SGS spokeswoman Jennifer Buckley says her company has no record of auditing Ngoc Sinh. At Chin Quang Tilapia Farm in Yangjiang City in China's Guangdong Province, which borders Hong Kong, Chin feeds fish partly with feces from hundreds of pigs and geese. That practice is dangerous for American consumers, says Michael Doyle, director of the University of Georgia Center for Food Safety. The manure the Chinese use to feed fish is frequently contaminated with microbes like salmonella. On a sweltering, overcast day in August, the smell of excrement is overpowering after seeing dead fish on the surface. Chin, 45, wades barefoot into his murky pond to open a pipe that adds fresh water from a nearby canal. Expert buy his fish to sell to U.S. companies. So, let me see. I'm going to keep going. That's only a few more. I was going to end this, but it's only a few more. Paragraphs. Yang Xin Quan, chairman of the government-sponsored Tilapia Aquaculture Association, and Lane Jiang, 200 kilometers from Lianjiang, 200 kilometers from Yangjiang, says he discourages using feces as foods because it contaminates water and makes fish more susceptible to diseases. He says a growing number of Guangdong farmers adopt that practice anyways because of fierce competition. Many farmers have switched to feces and have stopped using commercial feed, he says. About 27% of the seafood Americans eat comes from China, and the shipments that the FDA checks are frequently contaminated. The FDA has found the agency inspects only 2.7% of imported food. So I just want you guys to know that food that's imported, Lynn, only 2.7% of inspected. That means that 97.3% of that food goes uninspected. And of this 2.7%, 27%, of this, let me see, 27% comes out, blah, 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 blah. Oh, they said they're frequently contaminated. So if 2.7% is frequently contaminated, what do you think the 97.3% is going to be? FDA inspectors have rejected 1,380 loads of seafood from Vietnam since 2007 for filth and salmonella, including 81 from Ngoc Sin. Agency records show the FDA has rejected 820 Chinese seafood shipments since 2007, including 187 that contained tilapia. They're going to make me stop eating meat altogether, damn it.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Ain't that crazy?
They're gonna make me stop eating meat all to damn gather. That's
you can
crazy.
Eat alligator. You can eat alligator since those two
now,
guys.
I'm gonna tell you something. The only way that I would even, you know, I mean, the only way I would even consider this cool is if they said, you know, if they had on, you know, on the package when you buy it, shit fish on sale. I mean, because at that point, then at least, you know, well, man, this is good. You like it? Oh, man, I love it. What kind of fish is this? Oh, some shit fish. What? Yeah, man, it's a new fish from Japan. New fish from Vietnam. It's some shit fish.
What does this shit make the fish do?
Get microbes and bacteria.
Yeah, bacteria, salmonella, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you mean it's not beneficial?
No. No.
Well, what?
No, this is what our government is letting pass through our bodies. The government said this is cool.
They say everything's cool. And then they tell you later, 10 years later, after you screwed up, it ain't cool.
They say the news is true.
You eat some shit fish now? He said like this.
Yeah, babe.
Oh my goodness. Shit fish. 22 cents a pound. Hey, check this out. Here's their slogan. We got to get rid of this shit.
Hey, Lynn. You ain't never had shit taste this good.
Watch this. And then there's a black face on the commercial saying, that shit was good.
Yeah, you ain't never lied. That is some good shit.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You shouldn't be.
No. Robert, that don't work.
Oh, okay, my bad, King J.
Shouldn't be, don't work.
I was trying to highfalute for a second, King J.
Now, you know better than a highfalute, Robert. You're not a highfaluter. Stay in your faluting position. Lowfalute, you good at a lowfaluter. When you try to highfalute, you lose all your falution points.
J. King's News Reel.
And a possible first, and under heavy security, the KKK and NAACP meet in Casper. They didn't think he would come. He was a Ku Klux Klan organizer, and they were local leaders of the NAACP, historic enemies. They spent months negotiating the terms of his visit to Casper. There were ground rules, topics to be discussed, and guarantees of a security team. They wait in a small, low-ceiling conference room in the Parkway Plaza Hotel. Four NAACP leaders, 10 mints, striped red and white, sit clustered on a table. The pitchers of ice water on the table drip wet. Showtime, a security man, he's here. A security check swipes the metal-detecting wand, and he steps into the room. Here is John Hebert, an organizer for the United Clans of America, carrying a brown briefcase, shaking hands, settling into a high-backed swivel chair, leaning in, ready to talk. This could be the first time representatives of the two groups purposely met in peace. Keisha Simmons, the secretary of the Casper branch of the NAACP, poured the Klansmen a plastic foam cup of water. A security man locks the wooden conference door. They commenced a beating hit. No, I'm joking. Jimmy Simmons, the president of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People's branch in Casper, didn't expect to get a return letter from the KKK. For months, he had been hearing reports that black men and Gillette were getting beat up. Inevitably, the men were with white women when assaulted. Then Klan literature showed up around town. Smith considered rallying against the Klan, but then decided to try something different, talking. If you want to talk about hate, get a hater, Simmons said later. Let him tell you something about hate. He looked up some contact information and in June asked for a meeting with the KKK. Simmons wouldn't get specific, but it seems the NAACP headquarters wasn't pleased he planned to talk to the Klan. He eventually got the go-ahead, provided the meeting took place in Casper, Simmons' turf. A moderator from Colorado planned to come, but then she broke off contact. The Casper NAACP would meet with the Klan alone in the person of John Hebert. Now here was Hebert, not dressed in his Klan regalia, the white hood and robe, the history of hateful violence, but in a dark suit with a white shirt and a nondescript tie. His hand extended towards Simmons. Hello, John. Hello, Jimmy. Hebert makes a point of proving he's a member of anti-racism groups, membership, American Civil Liberties Union, the hate group Watchdog, Southern Poverty Law Center, and, oh yes, also the United Klans of America, an organization with a website image gallery that includes a target with an Obama campaign symbol, bullseye. Then there's the desire to succeed from the United States of America. The Northwest U.S., Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, Washington, Oregon should that's you, Robert, should succeed from and form a territory.
Oh, yeah.
Blacks can stay there, he supposes, but no more should be allowed in to keep the region white. States such as Georgia, which are primarily black, should succeed from the Union and become a black state. A question from the NAACP. How do you plan to succeed from the Union? Legally, hopefully, Hebert says. The meeting was to be a give and take on race relations, but the NAACP leaders ask most of the questions. A certain amount of segregation is a good thing, he says. White police should stay in white neighborhoods and black officers in black neighborhoods. Colorblindness doesn't even make sense. Interracial marriage? No. It's better if the races are kept separate, completely opposed, because we want white babies, he says. The line hangs in the air. Next question, beating of black men in Gillette. Those are hate crimes. Hebert agrees. Something must be done. Talk to the police. His tone is clear. Who would think of such a thing? Just terrible. There are a lot of Klan groups. The movement is fractured, with groups splintering on goals and methods. Yes, the Klan may be distributing flyers in the area, but that's not illegal, he points out. He describes how his Klansmen in Montana distribute literature. The paper goes in a baggie, weighted with a rock, and is thrown into people's driveways. His group's flyers let people know the Klan is serving as a neighborhood watch to let folks know they're safe in their bed. I like it because you wear robes and get out and light crosses and have secret handshakes, he says. I like being in the Klan. I sort of like it that people think I'm some sort of outlaw. His laugh rattles like a slow roll over a highway rumble strip. Hate-driven violence may still occur, but those perpetrators are hoodlums, he says. There's no proof that that's Klan violence, Hebert says. There was certainly violence in the past, but even with the splinter KKK, there's no proof the Klan is violent anymore. You're really confusing me, because I don't think you understand the seriousness of your group, says the NAACP's Mel Hamilton. The disbelief in the room is palpable. I think what Mel is saying is that based on your history, based on the Klan's history, it's hard to shed the skin of your group not being violent, not being killers, not being murderers, not being terrorizers, Simmons says. It's hard to imagine that. During the Reconstruction, those things did go on, Hebert says. The Reconstruction era covered the period between the mid-1860s and the mid-1870s. But what about the wave of Klan lynchings in the 1920s to 1940, for example? Well, Hebert doesn't know much about that. I just know what it is today, he says. I had relatives in the Klan in the 20s, and they didn't lynch anybody. Hamilton shoots back, as far as you know. His relatives quit the Klan because someone wanted them to kill somebody, Hebert says. The Klan is a secret society, and Hebert won't discuss how it's evolved or what it does. It's a canned answer. Hebert reads in a rush from a piece of paper. It's not good enough. You tell us what you want, and you maintain the secrecy of injustice, Hamilton says. But you're here. We're trying to do something good, and you're half-stepping on us. You're not serious about this. I don't think. After he's pressed, Hebert says he holds the Klan rank of Klegel, an organizer in Great Falls. He says he's seen a rush of recruits due to the presidency of Barack Obama, mostly men in their 20s and 30s, angry, violent, and ready for action. What I like to do is recruit really radical kids, then calm them down after they join, he says. Sometimes recruits will decide Hebert's Klan isn't hateful enough and go elsewhere. As long as recruits look white and think white, that's good enough for Hebert, even though some potential recruits have confessed to him they're quarter Mexican. He liked to recruit cops due to their training and so they could check someone's identification for him, but he admits he hasn't been successful. He doesn't believe that there's any Klan group active in Casper or none that he's heard of. And so this thing goes on and on, and I want you guys, if you get a chance to read this, go to Google and say KKK and NAACP meet in Casper. And you will be it's long, but it's interesting, and it tells you just where the mind of a racist and a bigot dwells, and it should hold us, Lynn, accountable to be productive and to be protective of our community and the people that live in it. I'm just saying.
like the dinosaur of yesteryear. Although there may be no Jurassic Park.
Heavy from the Everything is Black CD, 1995, Robert.
Irrelevant, King J.
I think I'm going to add it to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Going to add what to the show?
The shit is heavy?
Mm-hmm. Sponsored by that fish full of shit?
Full of shit. Sponsored by the shit fish?
The shit fish. Brought to you by Shit is Heavy. Brought to you by Shitfish. Eat it.
Some of the best shit you're going to ever taste in your life.
Yeah.
Promoted by Off the Hook Records.
No. Off the Hook. Oh, my God. That'll be on
J.
the hook.
King's News Reel.
Off the Hook.
Hey,
Black man ordered to pay $280,000 for calling black employee the N-word.
Wow.
Lawsuits right here in the United States. Lawsuits that involve black people fighting other black people over the N-word might be considered by some to be a waste of time. The word doesn't have much value. And it hasn't had value in the past. It also makes things confusing for everyone, especially white people who never know if they are allowed to use it as frequently as some black people do. A recent lawsuit brought the N-word into the limelight as a jury in New York awarded $30,000 in damages to a black woman who was suing her black boss. The woman says that her boss yelled at her, calling her the N-word, demeaning her on the job. She said that he should pay for what he did, and the jury agreed. According to the Associated Press, Brandy Johnson, with an I, was given the award by a jury in Manhattan, which is forcing Rob Carmona to pay $25,000 out of his pocket. They are also demanding that his organization, Strive East Harlem, pay another $5,000. But this isn't the only price that he has to pay, nor is it the greatest part of his penalty. In addition, Carmona has been told to pay $250,000 in compensatory damages that were awarded to Johnson last week. The case creates new conversations about whether or not it's appropriate for anyone to refer to each other with the N-word. It looks like it can be costly if you do so on the job. Now, see, I'm going to say nigga anytime I want to. I will never say the N-word. I will never say that. I don't use the N-word. I use nigga. And I'm wondering, and I say it very well. Nigga, what's up, nigga? You my, I don't like that nigga. That nigga right there better watch out. Ooh, did you see that nigga? Now, that's a cool nigga right there. Nah, the nigga, nah, nigga, that's good. Nah, nigga, I don't want none. I told you already, nigga, damn, nigga. See, I'm good with the nigga. But what I wouldn't do, Lynn, because I use nigga in the comfort of my home with my friends, with my homeboy, with people I like, or if somebody don't like me saying nigga, I use it to annoy people. So if a dude don't like it and he say, man, I really don't like if you use the N-word, I say, nigga, I don't use the N-word. I say nigga all the time. I agree with you. I don't like the N-word either. I think that's silly. But I do say nigga. I'll do that. But I would never do it on my job. I would never do it to employees, to people that work for me. You got to be a silly rabbit to do something like that.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for Jakey.
Now, if you want to get me, have some Captain Crunch. Not with the crunch berries, not the peanut butter. No, I want the straight up Captain Crunch.
Man, me and Dusty used to fight over Captain Crunch every morning.
I mean, I'll kill the Captain Crunch. Nigga, me and Captain Crunch. Nigga, you put a crunch berry in, you lose me. I don't want to have nothing to do with Captain Crunch and no damn crunch berry. I just want the captain. I'm going to give a damn about a crunch berry. But I agree that that guy should get sued. He ain't got no business calling none of his employees no niggas.
Now,
Carmona lets me know that he ain't really a nigga. He's a Como nigga. Carmona is a Como Sayama name. He just happened to be a dark, you know, he's a Como Sayama. He's dark because, there's some Comos that are black. So she probably, you know, she Brandy Johnson with an I. You know, that's a straight up, you know, soul finger. It ain't cut on her other than the American cut from the slave trade. But, I mean, there ain't no cut on her, you know. So I don't think that this was a bad deal. I think this was right. What do you think, Lynn? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree?
That's kind of hard to say. I don't think it was right because now there's going to be a lot of people that are being called niggas. It opens up a whole. This was started by some lawyer firm out of New York City where they put this thing on so they could generate more income for people suing each other.
Yep.
Hold on, Lynn.
More income. Just put word in there. Just put word after
more
in.
More in. That's right. More nigger come. More income.
Right. Oh, yeah, man.
More N-word come.
So
Lord,
listen, you can see this. Man, hey, nigga, hold up. I'm suing you. Okay, so now. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, and here's the deal. Here's the problem. And at that case may be justified for her winning. But everyone is, and we're going to lose the validity, just like in the situation with the, you said that they put that ad on Dunkin' Donuts. Now, when it's some serious things that matter, they're going to be taken lightly because there's so much, you know, flivorous, you know. It's just terrible.
Well, the deal is this. That ad, Lynn, that ad, you know, first of all, I think that you shouldn't be calling your employees niggas. I just that that's unacceptable. Whether you black, white, or purple, green, red, that should not be said in the workplace. Okay, so that's why I agree with it. But I think when I think it becomes far-reaching and silly when you take an ad that clearly has no racial undertones, overtones, or middle tones. And you make it into a racial epithet when in fact it's not. That's where the line draws for me.
You know, she had her nose running, and she had a nose running, or her hair was terrible. It would have depicted like a low class black person, but it's in good taste. The hair's neat. The makeup is flawless.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful ad. It's nothing. I mean, did you find the ad offensive?
No.
There's nothing
but
offensive about this ad to me.
I found that donut offensive, though. Why would I want to eat a charcoal donut?
Well, I mean, you're not in Thailand, though.
Where they eat charcoal, right?
That donut ain't made for you. That donut is made for Thailand.
And see, and that ad ain't made for me either. It's made for
Thailand. That's right. That ad is made for Thailand.
And truthfully,
she
looks like she's white.
That's what they're saying. Because she's white, she's in blackface. But this is what they reach back to, Lynn. They reach back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, to the minstrel shows, and said, and this ad is too beautiful for that. Those minstrel shows and the way those caricatures didn't look beautiful. They looked hideous.
They looked snaggy.
They looked funny. Yeah, this is a beautiful. So it don't make no sense to me. Rich sister said the pink lips messed it up. I don't think the pink lips messed it up. I like the pink lips. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was great art. It was nothing racist about it. You know what, Johnny?
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Robert?
Oh, yeah, babe.
It's hump day. You know what else day it is, Robert?
What's that, JK?
J. King's News Reel.
It's the day after Ken Jeong's ex-murdered by a firing squad and Dennis Rodman visits North Korea. Just last week, Kim Jong-un's ex-girlfriend was reportedly executed by a firing squad for violating North Korea's laws against pornography. Singer Ho Yeon Sung-woo and 11 others were rounded up and taken out by the official government of North Korea, but that hasn't stopped former NBA player Dennis Rodman from cozying up to the North Korean leader. According to the Associated Press, Rodman is back in Pyongyang to hang out with his good friend, Kim Jong-un. A U.S. envoy had scheduled a visit with the North Korean leader in hopes of bringing hostage Kenneth Baum, but the authoritarian state called off the visit after the U.S. conducted a military drill in South Korea. Speaking to reporters, Rodman declined any discussion on whether he'd be working to bring Ba home, saying only that he was going to North Korea to hang out with his new friend. I just want to meet with my friend Kim, the marshal, and start a basketball league over there or something like that, said the flamboyant Rodman. I have not been promised anything. I am just going there as a friendly gesture. Ba was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor in November, and Rodman once asked the North Korean leader on Twitter to do him a solid and release Bob. Rodman made it clear, though, that this was a visit, not a diplomatic trip. I'm not here to be a diplomat. I'm there to go there and just have a good time, sit with Kim and his family, and that's pretty much it, Rodman said. Rodman first met with Kim, who was reportedly a huge basketball fan, back in February. Somebody said, keep going over there, Rodman, and you may not be able to get back in the U.S. I think it's cool that Dennis Rodman is going to North Korea. You know,
hey, who charged that execution of his ex-girlfriend?
He did.
Oh, you know what that is? If I can't have it, nobody can.
Can nobody have it?
Can't nobody get this.
Now, look, but in that situation, when you, Lynn, you really can't win. That's not a win for you. Because if you say no to him, now he's going to kill you. You know what? Oh, you too good for me? She too good. I want you to attack 20 guards. Go to her house. Take her out. Beat her well. Bring her back to me so I can tell her why she died. Do it now. She can't win. Uh-oh. One student was killed and three injured in stabbings at Spring High School near Houston. So that just happened. It just came over the news. Just came over the wire. So, I don't know. Oprah Winfrey always wins. Nine classic beefs that Oprah has had to confront during her extraordinary career. You guys want to talk about this right here?
Yeah,
it's more than luck that Oprah's last name starts with the letters W-I-N, because all she does is win. Oprah has survived battles that are simply legendary and has lived the life of a modern-day Forrest Gump. She knows everyone, controls millions of people, and has more money than Barack Obama will ever have. We decided to lay out a few classic battles that Oprah has had to fight in order to win the crown and keep it. You might find the list interesting. So here it is. Nine classic beefs Oprah has had to deal with over the last 30 years.
Jay King's News Reel.
Hip-hop and gangster rap. The rappers 50 Cent, Ice Cube, and Ludacris have claimed throughout the years that Oprah has a bias against hip-hop music, primarily for the way the genre has come to marginalize and disrespect women. Although Winfrey appeared to become friendly with 50 Cent during a latter interview, it's not clear as to whether or not this beef has come to an end. Ludacris claims that Winfrey didn't want to invite him onto her show when he appeared in the film Crash, and also edited out some of his comments during the interview. Did you guys know that Oprah had a beef with hip hop and rap?
No, I know she had a beef with
a show on that a long years ago. Yeah.
I bet you I know what she didn't have a beef with.
What was that?
A hamburger. She didn't have a beef with no damn hamburger. She been biting into them forever and ever, amen.
And what made it so bad when she did do that little show, she went in on Will Smith, and he's not a major rapper like that.
I mean, well, yeah, Will wasn't really a gangster rapper, you know. I mean, unless parents just don't understand what's gangster to her. The number two is the beef industry. One of Oprah's biggest beefs was with the beef industry itself. She said they weren't cutting fat enough steaks. I'm joking. Back in 1996, Winfrey did a show about mad cow disease, and on the show proclaimed that she was never going to eat another burger for the rest of her life. We can all tell that that's not true. She was then sued by a Texas cattleman who claimed that Winfrey's remarks hammered the price of beef into the ground, costing them $11 million. After a two-month trial over the matter, Winfrey once again emerged victorious and went out and had hamburgers. Number three, obesity. Winfrey's weight loss and gain and loss and gain and gain and gain and gain were the subject of much speculation during the 1990s. But as she approaches her 60th birthday, Winfrey appears to have established a healthy balance of fat. So in the battle against obesity, we declare Winfrey to be the winner. Let me ask you guys a question. Okay, first of all, I personally, and my sister Terry thinks I'm a hater for this.
Okay.
I personally don't like women that are obese.
Okay.
Not in an intimate way. I mean, women, you know, as we get older, women get a little thicker. I'm with that. You know, I got a little thicker as I got older.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you like women who are white?
No.
So then that's your preference.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And no, nothing against white women. I just scared the hell out of them.
Hey, and
I got to be honest, I don't know if they have enough flavor for me like that. You know, I just like black, you know, I like, you know, black girls are sassy, you know, even the smart ones, even the ones that have class and all that stuff, they still got that little sass on them. You know, they go,
well,
you know.
What you do is bring out the lorries.
Huh?
You need to put a little lorries. You need to bring out the lorries.
Put a little seasoning on them.
That's a good spot for lorries. Hey, why doesn't Oprah change her name to Oprah Lose Free?
Because she want to win.
She win free. Yeah.
Yeah. Number four is poverty. Winfrey started off so poor in Mississippi that she once wore potato sacks as dresses. Now she wears dresses that cost as much as a small house. But if she keep eating, she's going to be the size of a small house, too.
Mm-hmm.
Drug abuse, number five. Oprah has admitted to drug abuse in the past. These demons can take a lifetime to overcome, and we wish her well in this struggle. But Winfrey claims that she won this battle, and we choose to believe her because she got too much money not to. Number six is Hillary Clinton. Both Hillary Clinton and the Republican Party became salty with Winfrey when she jumped into American politics endorsing then-presidential candidate Barack Obama. Winfrey delivered an estimated 1 million votes for Obama and also lost a few million viewers in the process. Republicans were also critical of Oprah for refusing to have Sarah Palin on her show. But Winfrey did bring Sarah on after the election, of course. Number seven. And I just want you to know, when she brought Sarah Palin on, Sarah Palin won that.
Oh, goodness.
Because it ain't no way Sarah Palin's dumbass.
I don't even know where she came from.
you know who used to hit Sarah Palin, don't you?
Who? Uh-uh.
Glenn Rice. Glenn Rice.
What?
They're the basketball player.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought she was going to say Rod.
Finger in her. That's where she got that little sass from. She wasn't like that. She was just, and when I lived in Alaska, Sarah Palin ran for Miss Alaska.
Right.
But a black girl named Marilyn Blackburn beat her.
Hmm.
She was the first black girl. Well, she wasn't the first black girl because, God, what's her name? Michelle LaVige. What was her name? It was a LaVige girl. This girl was beautiful. She was married to Matthew Saab Muhammad, the boxer. But her last name was LaVige. She was chocolate, and her skin was flawless. She was beautiful. She was the first Miss Black Alaska. But then Marilyn Blackburn went against Sarah Palin, and she beat her. I was there because we were part of the entertainment. When I was a dancer, when I was popping, living in Alaska.
Right. Plus, you worked for the mayor's office, didn't you?
I you know what? I worked for the city. I helped Tony Knowles, who ran for mayor. I put up posters and stuff like that for him. But I ended up working in the legislature, working for Vic Fisher. When I was 19 years old, I was a page, and then I worked on the State Affairs Committee.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I was the first black page they had in Alaska. And you know why? You know what they said once I got in?
What?
I didn't know the nigger was that black. I didn't know he had those types of tendencies. His skin color just looked non-threatening. Get him out! Number seven, the medical community. Her open-minded approach to health and wellness can sometimes get Oprah into trouble. One example is when she brought Susan Summers onto her show to talk about unconventional treatments for her cancer. This led to criticism from medical experts that Oprah was convincing her audience to pursue unproductive health alternatives. But they said she beat that. She won that beef, too. They don't say how, they just said. And then Christianity. Oprah has typically embraced unconventional ideologies, such as those presented by Eckhart Tolle in his book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life Purpose. This led to criticism from Christians that Oprah has embraced false spirituality and New Age teachings instead of more traditional religions. Which, you know, I don't get this. I don't get why I got to believe the way you believe. You know, why can't people just believe the way they believe and, you know, and let God say who's right and who's wrong? Let God say who's right and who's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to go to hell and you're going to burn forever in a day. And when that day comes, it's going to keep going because it's forever. You're just going to keep burning and burning and burning. And I don't believe that. But because I don't believe it, now people that believe it, they want to battle me. Well, it ain't no thing. Because I'll put the battle beat on your ass. Let everybody believe what they believe. Don't try to fight people. It's like today, you know, tonight, Lynn, my show is on the history of jazz and blues music, right?
No, ain't no thing, baby.
But Joan Cartwright is going to be on my show. She's an author of this book, the African-American sister, who is a musician. And so she told me this morning that musicians, that singers aren't musicians. And I told her I disagree. And she said, no, because singers can't do this. And so we're going to have a great discussion because we're going to have a good battle. Of course, I'm going to win. But, you know, I just wanted to see how good she could battle a little bit this morning. And I see she's a formidable opponent. But when people believe a certain way, you know, because she comes from the jazz era, so they're highbrow. They didn't believe in R&B music or blues. Those are not, those are lowfalutin musics. So those are the same bigotries, the same racisms, the same prejudices that white folk employed to make slavery correct, to steal music from us. You know, so we have to be indoctrinated in what other people believe in order for us to be okay, as opposed to people saying, hey, man, you know, as an individual, okay, I got that. I'm not telling people who believe that God, that you're going to burn in hell forever that they're wrong. For them, that's right. I'm not even concerned with that. You know, the fact that they are in search of God and what's good and what's right is really the most important part of the journey. I don't care what you believe. As long as it's God and good and righteous and positive, you know, the rest of it is going to wash out in the mix. And there's a lot of people that pretend to be righteous, to be positive. That, you know, when you talk to them, you know, they, yes, I'm righteous and positive, and I I'm reading this book, and I'm listening to this tape, and oh my God, it's so good. But everything they do, everything they really feel on the inside is totally opposite of that. So it don't matter. It don't matter that you read these things, that you say these things, that you portray these things, if they're not really inside of you.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. As Dosti would say. which he stole from Michael Cooper. And then the last thing that Oprah won against was sexual abuse. Oprah has regularly spoken of enduring sexual abuse as a child. She was raped at the age of 9 and impregnated at the age of 14. Despite her challenges, Oprah has risen to become one of the most powerful human beings on earth. And that's what we call a comeback. All right, you guys. What do we got, Lynn? What we got? Where we at? How many minutes we got left? Oh, okay, we got 29 minutes. Okay.
30 minutes.
All right. Robert, you gonna listen to my show tonight? After, would you quit beating off and get to this show, please?
He listened to this show.
Oh, yeah.
He's beating
man.
Off. I know what he's doing. Robert, why are you jerking off in the middle of the show? Take yourself off mute. I already know what you're doing, you little nasty ass. If he was
I'm
in a group, they'd be called the beef jerky. Yeah.
Look at this. Or, I'm glad it ain't to me, King J.
I don't think he's beating off to me. I just think that, you know, that he just got to, you know, he just got to jerk it.
Guess what day it is?
Jerk it day, huh? Let me see. I'm trying to find. Oh, here we go. This is where we at, y'all. Kings in the Morning.
This is a song about love.
Yeah.
But it's not a good love. It's not a real love.
Oh, no, babe.
And if your love sounds like this, then that ain't love.
When I work, putting hard days, that's how I keep these bills paid. At my crib, things go my way. Don't give a damn about what your girlfriends say. When I come home, ain't no way in. Should have my dinner on my plate and clear the table when my meal is done. And break me off, girl, when I roll on some.
Girlfriend, don't let them watch you like that.
That ain't love.
You pay your own bills, got your own car, got your own grip, you got it like that.
That ain't love.
He can cook and serve his own damn meal. And if you don't, some other trick will. Walk away when you can, girlfriend. Better yet, you better run, cause that ain't love.
See, in my house, that's how it's gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. So you know that I don't play around.
Well, I know that.
Girl, don't make me put my Mac hand down.
You better step back.
If you want me to be real with you,
yeah, real.
You better do the things I tell you to. So don't be tripping, just respect
you
me.
Gotta,
cause in my house is how it's gotta be.
Girlfriend, trying to run a game on you.
That ain't love.
Listen here, ain't no talk back. Ain't got no time for no tip or tat. Girl, you know I'm where your place is at. So you better recognize that. See, I'm a player from the old school. And in my house, it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me. Cause in my house, that's how it's got to be. You love me, baby. I've been good to you.
I still see the reason for your tears. Why you let him treat you so
don't
bad?
Don't let nobody
I'm not telling you all
play
your
for a fool.
Think about leaving. Can't help but leaving.
Don't
get on the chin in the sand.
Cause then you're
alone.
Another
love.
That's my love, baby.
like the best in that song is when they all come together to that crescendo.
Yeah, with Val and
Sam. Yeah, where Val and Sam come together and they're harmonizing right at the key. That is like if they're arguing, and then just before they stop arguing, they reach an agreement. They reach a completion.
Right. Yeah, and that's Club Nouveau, That Ain't Love, from the forthcoming Consciousness CD. Comes out in 2014, but that single comes out in October. Hello? Money Banks, I do a radio show from 8 to 10 in the morning, and you know it, nigga. Why you calling me in the middle of the show?
Because I can't wait, nigga.
Call the number, 347. Get a pen, nigga. I'm going to text you.
Hey, you better right, not nigga. Sue me. All right, nigga. Nigga.
I can say that. I said good, Lynn. I'm not going to stop saying nigga. I'm sorry. If whoever don't like it, tit to tit.
Tit to tit.
Yeah, I don't care if you don't like it. If you don't, you know, cause my friends, all my friends know I say nigga.
Toot the toot. Yeah.
Even some of my friends that say, man, I don't like the word, but they know I'm going to use it. They just say, oh, Jay just going to say the word. He just going to say it.
Toot the toot. Yeah.
Next to the last, Don said, damn that nigga. I thought I'd say it since we're throwing it around.
Nigga, please.
Yeah. So people say, Jay, how can you write all this good stuff about changing the world? And hey, because that don't change. You know, saying nigga don't not change the world.
Yeah, because there still could be niggas in the world even after you change it.
There's just not gonna be as many. Cause niggas ain't just black. Niggas is ignorant. I know some
like John Lennon said. Women
yep.
of the niggas of the earth.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't believe them. You know, I mean, I think when John Lennon said it, he meant it in another way, you know,
but it's
based on what.
The same.
Yeah, they sound the same, but at that time, what they, you know, that women were actually being treated even worse than black folks. That women in themselves, the suffrage of a woman was even greater than, you know, the suffrage of black folks, which in some ways I agree with, because the black woman has endured probably more, you know, more pain, more scrutiny than any of us, because the black woman was raped. You know, she was against her will. The slave master could have sex with her and make babies with her. So just imagine that, you know, what she would have to go through when she came back to the cabin, if you will. You know, and her husband didn't want to touch her, or the anger he showed towards her because of what was going on. You know, I mean, you know, so black women have endured a lot. And that's why I love black women. That's,
I think all black men... You think all black men were angry at the woman that had to go out and be a
no,
woman?
No, I don't think all of them were, but I think over a period of time, I think, yeah, I mean, I believe that a lot of the black men became angry, and they, you know, they probably blamed it on their wives, and you know, I mean, because it's human nature, Lynn, you know, for when, you know, when men are looking at women, what you shouldn't be dressing so damn provocative. No, I think this is Money Banks. Money Banks is issue.
Money Banks is on the line. What's going down?
Money, why are you so happy, man? You must have a pocket full of it.
Oh my God, man! I'm selling the house. Just got a bid on it today. I'm gonna go out there and have me some fun. Might buy a Ferrari, Bentley, Rolls Royce. I don't know what to do.
So you're gonna do just like a nigga. You're gonna get the money and go buy. You're gonna just go buy a car.
Is this Money Banks for real?
This is the real Money Banks. Okay, let me tell y'all who Money Banks is, in case y'all don't know.
Yeah.
Y'all know, you know, if you've seen Divine Brown on film, you probably see Money Banks right there with her.
Money Banks, what would you consider yourself? A pimp, player, a hustler?
I would say I'm a gigolo, hustler, top-notch player, top-notch pimp daddy, top-notch everything, because I do classy shit. I go in hotels and shit with tuxedos and shit on like that. That's what I do. And then I sneak home to my wife. See, I'm really married, too, so a lot of people get mad because I'm married and all that. So I sneak home. I go out and mess with the girls, get money, get paid, and just have fun. And then I save my money. And then I just
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad you're saying this on my show. I'm going to send this show to Vanessa since your ass is on the show talking like this.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I done told
hey,
you.
Hey,
I done told you about that.
So much.
Yeah. See, I tell Vanessa on him, Lynn.
Yeah, he told do. He will tell
I will
on
let
my
Vanessa
ass. He is
yes,
not lying.
I will tell Vanessa, nigga, you married. See, because Lynn, I have a really strong constitution in that area. I think
that's
if
right.
You married, you should only be with your wife. And
yeah,
his nasty ass. Just
yeah,
out
but
there.
If your wife is not giving you none, then what you gonna do? You got to go out and get it. That means she is. The contract she married me with is voided because she's not doing what she's supposed to do. Because
she ain't with you, nigga, because you out there putting your little penis everywhere. Don't nobody want the little nasty penis in them. You done smoked it. You might as well be Money Longstroke.
Is that Gangsta Brown?
No, this is Money Banks. That's Gangsta Brown sidekick.
Oh, yeah, babe.
Hey,
what's up, Money Banks?
But check this out, though. Why did the woman stop wanting to make love to you? Now, sometimes I don't make love until my own wife in 8-9 months when I can go out and have sex with a girl every day.
Hey, remember remember that one girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why. That's why you don't do it. One girl starts stalking his ass.
Yeah, so that's why I get in trouble?
And that's why your ass get in trouble.
So
now let me ask you a question, Money. So if Vanessa had sex with you all the time, you asked her to, you wouldn't do nothing else.
I'll be a good boy.
You're a damn lie. Don't make God strike you down.
I swear, my ass will be in Paris. I will take her ass anywhere she want to go. All she got to do, just what you said, is have sex, have fun. We can kick it. I swear to God, my ass will be with her ass. I wouldn't have to go out because I wouldn't have no time because she would be satisfying her man. But if she don't satisfy me, Jay, God damn it, I'm gone like a motherfucker. My ass is gone. I talk to some women sometimes. I said, why is my wife not having so much sex? They said,
Where are you now?
Oh, I'm downstairs in the living room. I just woke up.
I see. You see that? Where's Vanessa?
She went to work early. Them motherfuckers got that 5 o'clock come tell me, oh, I'm taking your goddamn car. Up to the goddamn train station, and I got to ride my 10 speed up there to go get the goddamn car. I said, get your own goddamn car. I ain't got time for that shit. Matter of fact, I can't really get mad because my health has been so good since I've been riding that bike up there to go get the car. I think my ass is in shape. And my blood pressure pills and all that shit, man, I think I'm doing good. The doctor said, what have you
done? Look at that. See how your woman, your wife is, see what your wife is doing for you?
Yeah.
And you see what you're doing?
Look,
and
we both
didn't
know it. We both didn't know that I was getting exercise on going by her sneaking over my goddamn car. She did a good thing. That was the doctor said. She said, you better let her keep sneaking that goddamn car because, goddamn it, your ass is doing fine now. We came in here with 200 blood pressure was up to 200 and shit. She said, my ass was going to die. I said, the Lord brought you in here. I said, no, Lenny Williams told me to take my ass to the doctor. That's what happened.
let me ask you a question now. Do you have life insurance? Do you have life insurance?
Yeah, I'm
serious. Robert, do you have life insurance?
I don't want to touch that subject with you.
I'm just asking you, do you have life insurance? I'm not asking you. I don't want to get none on you right now. I'm asking you, do you have any?
Oh, yeah, babe.
Uh-oh.
Johnny, do you have life insurance?
Man, we got life insurance. Our plots are paid for since the 90s.
Now, see, that's what happened to you. That pasty substance, boy, is good for you. What about you, Lynn? Do you have life insurance?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. My life insurance, Lynn, ran out about 18 months ago.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had the 20-year term insurance, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it ran out, and then the premium really jumped up.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, you can't let it run out.
So I just found a new company. They're coming here Saturday to do all the
you know, do all the stuff on me to see if I'm healthy and everything. And I'm getting a whole new thing of life insurance because I don't want nothing to happen to me and my family have to deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And I want my kids to have some type of, you know, financial freedom, you know, to breathe. So my boys each get 20%, and my daughter gets 40%.
King J, why would you be disproportionate?
Because boys should get up off their lazy ass and do something.
yeah, that's true. At least you got a method to your madness.
And girls are just, especially, I mean, let's be honest, in the black community, the women in the black community are a lot more aggressive when it comes to being, to being providers. I don't know what happened to the black male. They're lackadaisical and they get lazy. And I got to blame it on their mamas for taking care of them so good, for looking after them so good. And don't talk to that boy like that. Uh-uh. No, you don't talk to him mm-hmm. like that. One thing my mama did was she never, when my dad said something to me, my mom didn't get in the way of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, women don't let men, you know, regulate.
Exactly.
And a woman got to let the man. You got to put that. Yeah, you got to put that regulation down. That Mac hand got to fall down someplace. If you ain't gonna let the Mac hand fall on you, let it fall someplace where it can regulate. And boys mm-hmm. haven't been regulated well, and so now what we got is we got this lazy little boy.
Fernando's do the same thing. Fernando be doing the same thing, but that's be telling him don't. Why are you talking to him like that? Why are you talking? Okay, hold on, Carwatch. This is a grown dude. He won't go to his own house to help clean his own house and fix it up and paint. He want me to do everything. I said no. He got to learn how to do that shit. You're right about that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Next to last, Don said that's because a lot of black mothers now make the son the head of the household, and that's the truth.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm believing that one. I'm really believing that one.
So you
I'm
know,
that 100%.
So you know, you treat him like he's paying bills when she's providing everything for him. That's right, Last Don. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
so that's why, Robert. Because my boys, I got the fact that I'm even giving them something is a good sign mm-hmm. on my part. That as mm-hmm. a father. That I've grown because I'm telling you right now, I felt like when a nigga got 18, tit, tit.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of yourself, nigga. But a girl is different. A father, the way a father treats his daughter is the way she's going to expect to be treated.
Say that, then.
Right.
So my job
wow.
is to protect the little girl from everything and everybody.
Right.
That's my job, you know. And my job is to make the boys know that they got that they have to man up.
Man up.
Yep.
That they
wow.
owe it. They owe it to be. They got to man up on it.
Hey, Dave, let me ask you a question about, okay, if I go to the grocery store, my son is at the grocery store. We both buying some stuff, but he waits to see what I'm going to buy, if I'm going to buy all his shit. What shit is that?
First of all, my son, hey, you buy what you buy for you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna buy what I buy for me.
Yeah, mm. but he wanted to keep his money in his pocket
because y'all let him see. Because one
uh-huh.
thing, this is where me and Vanessa were battle at.
Uh huh.
And she made me. This is where Robert. This is where you're gonna hear it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it's gonna go down. Hey, baby. You know, Jay want to move back into the house, and I think it's a good idea. You know, he's been having some tough times. Jay is grown. I know,
mm-hmm.
baby, but, you know, he's just having some tough times. And I just... Money Banks, do you know what that is?
I was trying to figure out. I was looking at my damn phone. What the hell is that?
That's the battle beat. If
the
a woman wanted to battle me, it ain't no thing, Ronnie Banks, but she gonna get.
Time you turn around, you're there, where you're not supposed to be in your mind. Just like food, what you put in your body is what you get out. The mind works the same way. Do you compound the garbage you hear and see, and how does that process out? What kind of God diet do you consume mentally? Do you feed the mental with good things, or is the menu you choose from hell offerings? On the daily, you're getting the slurky evil procedures. But if you stand strong in your greater good belief, you can weather the trash storms and focus on better. Does it matter what others think of you? Or does it matter what you think of yourself? Amen.
Amen.
Hey, boy, y'all get that check. What about...
Hey, you guys, don't forget, we saluting on a higher level now. Hey, you guys, don't forget to tune into Wow Wednesdays right after this show. You don't have to do anything. Sit where you are. Johnny Graham Cracker Davis does Wow Wednesdays. Johnny, what do you have on Wow Wednesdays today?
Oh, I'm coming back at you with the rest of the Club Nouveau. Staying with them.
All right. So, and then tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I have a guest on. What did I say her name? What was Joan's last name? Do you guys, anybody remember? I'll tell y'all in a minute. But I, tonight on the Music Business, the way I see it, from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Joan Cartwright is my guest, and we're going to be discussing the history of blues and jazz. It's going to be an interesting subject. If you are into music, this is a great show. You need to tune into it. That's from 7 to 9
knows.
Tonight.
Huh? See what she knows on Bonanza, too.
Hey, man, I watch Bonanza every day.
Man. Oh, my God, what a crew.
Jay King's News Reel.
Mr. Farrakhan says to Barack Obama, your advisors don't seem to be your friends. On Saturday evening, Minister Louis Farrakhan showcased the 34th video of his The Time and What Must Be Done weekly series. He deviated from his pre-planned subject matter to discuss the dangers of America's brewing war on Syria. Questioning the nation's interest in attacking the Middle Eastern country, Minister Farrakhan says, given America's false flag operations, great doubt exists as to the truth of whether the Syrian government is in fact responsible for the use of chemical weapons. Minister Farrakhan ponders on what he believes to be the real interest in attacking Syria. Is it ego that is driving you to go it alone? He asks, noting that even England does not want anything to do with the war. Is it that you will be embarrassed if Assad stays in power? I wonder, Minister Farrakhan continues to probe America's interest in attacking Syria, referencing an article that challenges America on its own use of chemical weapons. According to the article, from 1962 to 1971, the U.S. military sprayed an estimated 20 million gallons of defoliants and herbicides over Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia in a bid to deprive the Viet Cong of food and cover. The Vietnamese government estimates that 400,000 people were killed or maimed and 500,000 children born with birth defects as a result of the so-called rainbow herbicides. The minister also cites commentary written by David Swanson, who refers to Syria's use of chemical weapons as lies. Lastly, Minister Farrakhan cites a Global Research News article that claims leaked emails reveal that the White House gave the green light to a chemical weapons attack in Syria that could be blamed on Assad's regime and in turn spur international military action in the country. The article was later deleted from its original source, British Daily Mail, following a libel suit. Minister Farrakhan concludes of his references, America was already arming the Syrian rebels. This was not a civil war in which the Syrian people were rising against their government alone. He continues, alluding that Syrian rebels were aided by America. The minister begins to question whether or not President Obama's advisors are truly working in his favor. So may I respectfully say, Mr. President, your advisors don't seem to be your friends. He continues, who advised you to say that the NSA was not spying on the common American citizen? Stating that an attack on Syria will be the most devastating war in the history of the world. Minister Farrakhan pleads with President Obama to reconsider his position on the brewing war. I am pleading with President Obama. Please don't let them misguide you. Minister Farrakhan's commentary regarding the brewing war on Syria comes just hours after President Obama announced that he'd allow Congress to decide on whether or not the U.S. will attack the country. I personally think we don't need to be anywhere in any other country fighting any other war right now. There's a war on African-American males in this country that we need to deal with first before we deal with the atrocities happening in other countries on their people. Hey, my name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and Money Banks today telling you to get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. We're out. Stay right there. Stay where you're at. The honeycomb, Wild Wednesdays is next.
Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk radio show. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning.
Tripped out on us, but we gonna finish out this Wednesday with a little bit of Club Nouveau. Here we go, y'all.
What kind of love?
Oh, black
but everything
man.
Is black.
What do you run to?
Where do you
my
run
black man.
To, black man?
Almost extinct.
Almost
in this
extinct.
Here land.
This land.
Like the dinosaur
like
of yesteryear.
Of yesteryear.
Although.
Although,
there may be no Jurassic Park.
There may be
Park
no Jurassic Park.
For a black man.
Ooh, for a black
oh,
man.
The shit is heavy.
Situation number 9, blowing my
my lavish lifestyle. But situation number nine sets me free from the talk for a while. I hear somebody knocking at my door. Ooh, I wonder who could it be? Some people say that I'm paranoid, but they don't really know me now.
Situation number nine, blowing my mind.
rumors around.
Thank you.
take you into the future.
Gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. me. Cause in my house is how it's gotta be. Talk back, ain't got no time for no tit for tat. Girl, you know I'm where your place is at, so you better recognize that. See, I'm a player from the old school, and in my house it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me, cause in my house is how it's got to be. You love me, baby.
Ain't ever right for me, no. buy almost anything, from limousines, fancy cars, to diamond rings. Buy your lover, the home of a dream, but it can't buy the heart, you know what I mean. You're hurt by love, because you didn't understand, it wasn't money, she wanted the man. You broke her heart, but you bought her the world, found out too late, you were in love with the girl.
Your love, but if you do have that ghetto swag, then it's on. DJ
in the car is the ghetto wedding. Yeah, yeah.
you back. Here's one of my favorites y'all probably forgot about.
Treats me so good. He don't love, my man. Cause I know of every second, minute, hour that he's away from me. And anyway, I trust him. What do you know about trust?
Out of my conviction. She's a freak of
God bless. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Peace, y'all.